From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. After losing his appeal at the Supreme Court last year to have undocumented immigrants identify themselves in the 2020 U.S. Census, President Donald Trump chose a new approach just months before the November election. In a recent memorandum, Trump decided that states should not count immigrants when drawing district lines based on the 2020 census, using logic that appears to be at odds with the U.S. Constitution. Now, the group Common Cause is suing the Trump administration over the new rule. Joining me to tell us about it is Dan Vicuña, National Redistricting Manager at Common Cause. Welcome to the program, Dan.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So we had you on about a year ago when the Supreme Court made its decision. The initial question was that Trump basically decided that the census should ask all Americans whether they are all people filling out the census, rather, whether what their immigration status was, whether they were an immigrant or not. And that was fought. It was appealed. And eventually the Supreme Court decided that Trump couldn't ask that question on the census. What do you make of this new approach? Is this basically Trump trying to circumvent the Supreme Court's decision last year to achieve the same ends?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, this is part of the Trump administration's unrelenting assault on people of color and immigrant communities. You know, what the president is trying to do with this move is to fundamentally change, in clear violation of the Constitution, the way that we determine how many congressional districts each state gets. You know, what he wants to do is exclude from the count by, you know, pulling in administrative data from other federal agencies, exclude from the population count people who were undocumented. This would have a radical impact on how we distribute congressional districts. It would completely skew population data and give primarily non-Hispanic whites, Republicans, greater advantage in terms of their ability to have representation in Congress. And so, you know, we think it's clearly unconstitutional, which is why within about 2 days of the announcement of this move, a Common Cause and a lot and some co-plaintiffs decided to challenge in federal court in D.C.
So let's talk about how the Trump administration is justifying this move in the memorandum that was issued July 21st. The specific part of that memorandum that tried to make the case said that the term in the Constitution that requires that persons in each state be counted, the persons in each state has been interpreted, according to the White House, to mean that only the inhabitants of each state should be included. Determining which persons should be considered inhabitants for the purpose of apportionment requires the exercise of judgment. Some people have basically pointed out that this is a new version of the three-fifths rule, that approach by southern slave-owning states to be able to count the people that they enslaved as three-fifths of a human being, and that basically this was this is a way to undermine the humanity of immigrants. I mean, they're basically, Trump is saying, they're not people.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a new question. You know, unfortunately, this country has a long history of having disdain for people who are new to our shores, including, you know, people who come both legally and without documentation. And so this question has been asked before, whether people who are undocumented should be counted when it comes to representation. You know, the attorneys general of administrations, the Carter administration, the Reagan administration, the George H.W. Bush administration, and President Obama's administration all looked at this exact same question and came to the same conclusion that the plain language of the 14th Amendment requiring everyone to be counted means that you don't make invisible in our democracy certain classes of people. You know, that you cannot, for example, look at a family that, you know, maybe there's mixed immigration status, which I think is a fairly common thing in the U.S., where you might have young kids or, you know, kind of who are, or you natural-born U.S. citizens, but maybe their parents are undocumented, that you don't, you know, split that family, set it against itself to make some people matter and some people don't matter. It's just a clear violation of the law, and that's why we think this is a slam dunk case.
Is Trump looking to exclude all non-citizens, that is legal residents as well, or is it just those here who are here without papers?
Well, the memorandum that he released on the 21st of July limits it to undocumented immigrants. However, this is something what we know from the recent history of efforts to gerrymander is that this is, I think, an attempt to get just a foot in the door. After the 2010 census, there was an effort by a former GOP gerrymandering guru, a now deceased man named Thomas Hoffler. He conducted a secret study funded by a big Republican donor to determine what would happen. And he decided to, as a sort of micro example, use Texas. Well, not so micro, it's a big state, but to use Texas as an example of what would happen if we limited the count of people for drawing districts to just citizens of voting age. So excluding children, excluding all non-citizens, even those who may be here on a green card, you know, including undocumented. And what he found was that counting only citizens of voting age population would, in the political process, advantage, quote, Republicans and non-Hispanic whites. So I think excluding from the count undocumented people is really just an effort to kind of to push the envelope a bit, despite the fact that it's in clear violation of the Constitution, to eventually exclude a whole host of people from being counted in our democracy. And we're actually fighting out this specific effort. For example, in Missouri, this question is going to be on the ballot, whether to exclude for the drawing of state legislative districts there only citizens of voting age population. So this isn't theoretical. This is a fight we're actually going to have to start fighting about who counts in this country.
Dan, I should have asked you this earlier, but if the census itself does not have the question of who is a citizen, how can states identify who to exclude if Trump's memo stands?
Well, the president is going to rely on pulling in data from a whole host of federal agencies. He's also asked some states to give data that would help determine on a very localized level where non-citizens live. So he's going to rely on, you know, the bad will of states and some federal agencies to try to get this done. But, you know, we're hoping we can stop him short of that because of how clearly illegal this effort is.
So, for example, if the state of California, that's dominated by Democrats and that has taken, you know, steps relative to other states to protect immigrants, if it chooses, and also has a very large population of immigrants, if it chooses to not turn over that data to the Trump administration, those redistricting efforts could be thwarted. Of course, then if the memo stands, Trump could sue California, I suppose, and it would just set off some never-ending battle.
Yeah, I mean, I think the role of states protecting the people who live in there is going to be crucial because, like I said, you do have a couple of states right now. I think Nebraska and South Dakota who are throwing their folks to the wolves. So, you know, I think the administration will attempt still to use, federal administrative data to supplement if a state doesn't cooperate. But I think to the extent that states don't cooperate, it can be helpful in ensuring that everybody counts.
Explain for our audience, because this is worth understanding, and I think we often forget because it's a little bit technical, how the census is used to draw district lines and which districts we're talking about here. This is essentially congressional representation we're talking about, but also the apportionment of federal funds?
Yeah, so census data, it's used in a lot of important ways. It's used to determine just absolutely essential resources that regarding the health, safety, vitality of a community, the census data is critical to those resources. It's used to determine among the 435 members of the U.S. House of Representatives, how they'll be distributed among the states. And then, you know, depending on whether some states, like I said, in Missouri, decides to try to use a limited population data to make people invisible in our democracy, they may draw congressional or state legislative districts based solely on a limited population. It's hugely important, which is why we're trying to stop what the administration is aiming to do here.
Is this, as far as you know, also part of the wish list of Trump's, one of Trump's top advisors, Stephen Miller, who's made it very clear what his anti-immigrant agenda is?
Considering the administration's willingness to act with abject cruelty toward immigrants, with the psychological torture of parents by separating them from their children, this feels right up Stephen Miller's playbook, consistent with the cruelty for its own sake that's become a mark of this administration when it comes to people of color and immigrants. So yeah, it really does have his fingerprints on it.
When the Supreme Court last year ruled against the Trump administration's desire to have the citizenship question on the census, did they do so based on a technicality that could have a workaround that, I'm thinking of the DACA decision recently with the Supreme Court, where a majority ruled against what the Trump administration was trying to do, which was cancel DACA, but they did so in a way that was more based on a technicality, basically saying that the Trump administration didn't follow the proper procedure. So had they followed the proper procedure, they might have actually won this right. So I'm wondering if going back to the Supreme Court ruling from last year, whether that was based on a technicality.
I mean, there was some good luck involved in that victory. It was the Supreme Court didn't rule that the census question was somehow unconstitutional. What it stated was that the Trump administration's stated rationale was false. They made the Trump administration made the laughable claim that they were placing the citizenship question on the census to better enforce the Voting Rights Act. This is an administration that's really let the Voting Rights Act languish when it comes to protecting people of color. So the Supreme Court saw right through that, assisted by the kind of a very last minute development that Common Cause played a role in which we obtained the documents of Thomas Hoffler, and we learned about this study that he did to demonstrate what a limited population would do, how it would advantage Republicans and non-Hispanic whites. It was just a bridge too far for John Roberts, but he said that under the violation of the Administrative Procedures Act, their rationale was false. So he struck the question from the census, and also it was kind of too late to figure out a way to put it back on and allow them to give a new rationale. But yeah, if they had come in sort of honest about their discriminatory intent, it could have been problematic. So it was unfortunately kind of a limited ruling, and who knows what could happen next time around.
Isn't it on the record with various Supreme Court decisions, thanks to Justice Sonia Sotomayor, that the Trump administration has expressed racial animus against immigrants? I mean, one would imagine that in the arguments made to against what Trump is trying to do, that his comments that are made on the public record ought to be part of the debate, the arguments, that the legal decision-making. He's made it very clear, overtly clear, that he has a racist anti-immigrant agenda. And he's, there's so much in the public record to show that that's what his real agenda is.
Yeah, I mean, there seems to be a bit of a division in the courts about to the extent judges should basically kind of, see no evil, hear no evil, and pretend that an agenda that looks on its face discriminatory and is backed up by tweets, by public statements about in which the president attempts to instill fear of immigrants in a bigoted way, that somehow courts are supposed to ignore that when making decisions about whether there's racial animus. So I think you've got to open your eyes, if you're a judge or a Supreme Court justice, and recognize the true intent behind these, that they are violative of more than just sort of technicalities, the Administrative Procedures Act, that you have racial animus. That is really problematic in terms of basic civil rights and 14th Amendment protection. So, hopefully courts will look at those things.
Is Common Cause's lawsuit also trying to address the fact that this is not just an anti-immigrant policy that Trump has signed, but a very, it seems as though, sort of a barefaced partisan one, right? Because if you exclude immigrants, you tend to disadvantage Democratic Party representation.
I mean, unfortunately, because of the precedent set in our case, Common Cause v. Rucho, or when it got to the Supreme Court, Rucho v. Common Cause, The Supreme Court said it's mostly going to stay out of determining whether sort of a move when it comes to redistricting is too partisan, despite the fact that kind of lower courts were able to figure out a way to identify, for example, districting maps as too partisan. The Supreme Court threw up its hands and said, well, there's not much we can do, so good luck with that. So we've limited our complaint to the fact that this is clearly in violation of the plain language of the 14th Amendment, which requires everyone to be counted and represented. So we think that'll be strong enough. And there's some statutory claims too, where, you know, federal law also kind of mimicking the language of the 14th Amendment says the same thing, that it's clear it's got to be total population and that the president's role is to send over those total population numbers. So we think we've got an open and shut case here.
So the census itself, what is the status right now of the completion of the census? Many people feared, including I'm sure yourself, that last year's push to include a citizenship question, whether successful or not, was intended to have a chilling effect on immigrant populations, even filling out the census. And I'm wondering if you have any sense that that chilling effect has been realized, because I know a lot of organizations have done a lot of public service announcements, and states have really encouraged every person, immigrant or not, to fill out the census because of the importance of it. So do we know whether it's being fulfilled to a great enough extent?
You know, the overall numbers for filling out the census are decent. However, unsurprisingly, you know, based on some of the things you mentioned, you do see some undercounts and a failure to respond in communities that we know are communities of color, communities that are lower income. So there's a lot of work to be done still as we try to get to the home stretch here. You know, at this point, the Census Bureau has asked for an extension of the time to do the enumeration going out to October. It's something that we think is probably necessary because of the restrictions, COVID-19 restrictions, making it harder to get people to knock on doors safely and approach people in person to encourage that sending in of information from households. There's a lot of work to be done. And, you know, the Trump administration did a lot of damage. I think what it aimed to do by scaring people to making them think they had a reason to be afraid of filling out the census. But we are a part of complete count committees in a ton of states, a lot of local jurisdictions, trying to spread the word that there are significant federal law protections, privacy protections that make it safe to fill out the census, and that doing so is critically important to getting resources the community needs. So there's work to be done, and we're trying to do our part.
Right, because in traditional times, you would have the census forms be mailed out, and then census workers go door to door to ensure that they are filled out, to remind people to fill them out. There's always challenges, even in traditional years. You know, people might think it's junk mail, or they just don't get around to it. They're busy, and especially those people who are in vulnerable communities that really need to be counted the most need that extra follow-up work. But with a pandemic, it makes it so much harder. And I'm wondering if you think that the idea that Trump is doing this to score political points ahead of the November election is also pretty clear to people. I mean, I'm not sure whether it'll be clear to courts as your lawsuit proceeds that this is, you know, kind of a ball-faced election ploy, a signal to his base that he is staying the course to make this country a hostile one for immigrants. But I'm wondering if this is just something that's going to be apparent to people.
It's hard to say. We're making the argument.
This is basically the border wall type approach, right?
Yeah, I mean, because it's so patently illegal, this question has been adjudicated so many times about whether everyone should be counted in this country when it comes mm-hmm. to representation, that it really, it's hard to believe that lawyers worth their salt looked at this and said, oh, let's just give it a shot. We'll do this because it's got a legal justification. This does have the stench of coming from the president's political team to demonstrate to his base that he'll keep bashing immigrants in any way, shape, or form and creative way he can come up with. So yeah, it does have that stench for sure.
Well, Dan, give out a website where people can find out more about the work that you do with Common Cause.
Yeah, if you go to commoncause.org/fairmaps, you know, you can get a look at our work overall on redistricting. You can take a look. There's a litigation section where you can see some of the documents involved in Common Cause v. Trump as well.
That's commoncause.org/fairmaps. And we'll post a link to that from our website later today. Dan, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
My guest has been Dan Vicuña, a national redistricting manager at Common Cause. We've been discussing the group's lawsuit against Trump's decision to try to exclude immigrants from census counts for purposes of redistricting. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.